I suppose I've never physically had a baby, so I can't say it's like having a baby because I don't know what that feels like. But it was like opening the box, taking it out and looking at it, and that's my creation. I created that, all of it.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Jo Wildsmith Pod and Passive Income Podcast. So today I'm joined by the lovely Fiona Miles, and Fiona and I go back quite a long way. But for now, first of all, Fiona, would you mind introducing yourself, letting everybody listening know what it is you do?
Hi, I'm Fiona and I run the Miles Method. I'm also a writer. I write books about adoption, SEN parenting, stuff like that, and I've just started a lovely little children's book series about Sparkles the Wonder Dog and Georgie, who has special needs.
Oh, that's lovely. So busy lady then?
Very busy, yes.
Do you like being busy, or do you just think, what am I doing? Why am I taking on another thing?
I must like being busy because I am always busy, and when I'm not busy, that's when I go and find something else to learn or do. Like, I have a little room now that stops me running for the shiny stuff. I have a little room where I can paint rocks and I paint jars, and that stops me running for the shiny stuff.
That is so good, because that's somewhere where your mind can go, isn't it? So yeah. That is really nice. I like that idea. I'm terrible myself, and if I haven't got something that my brain is cooking on, there's something up, and I think I get that have I handed in my homework syndrome.
Yeah.
So years ago, after I finished uni, for months and months, I was still having nightmares about, have I got an assignment to be handed in? Have I got an assignment? And it just felt weird that I would go to work and that I wouldn't have any homework. It was like, this is weird. So I totally understand. I totally get it. But we manage to fill things up, don't we? We manage to fill it up with other things.
Yeah.
So, Fiona, I know that you've done a bit of print on demand.
Oh, yes, I love that.
So have you done it in various niches? Because obviously SEN things are quite a long way away from Sparkles the Wonder Dog. Mm-hmm. Or do you bring it all together in one?
What I've done is I have two little print on demand shops, and one of them is filled with kind of feel good sayings like I've got sunshine in my soul and stuff like that, and I have a Dashund one, Dale's Dashund Delights, where it's sort of Dashundy slogans that are in that. But I've also got a space on Redbubble where I just put the most random stuff that just people seem to buy.
Excellent. So with Redbubble, that's where you think of something totally random and you think, well, it doesn't fit in that shop, it doesn't fit in that one, but I want it out there.
Yeah.
So that's the perfect way to use a platform, isn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I enjoy that one. I enjoy just putting my randomness on there.
Love that one. And your feel good sayings, your faith is important to you, isn't it? So is that involved with that one as well? Do you have elements of that too in there?
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember what the slogan was, but it was a scripture, and it was faith, about your faith being seen or something. And I bought myself a sweater, a hoodie, and I wore it to church and I wore it to a conference that I was speaking at. And I got loads of sales from just doing that, because people were like, oh, where did you get your hoodie from? I was like, oh, I made this.
You can do a mashup.
Yeah, I've got lots of colours.
Yeah. That is amazing to hear. You're your best model, definitely.
Yeah.
The other thing that you've done that I think is so brilliant, and I wish more people would do, is you've done your own mock-ups. You've done your own photo shoots with your husband. You've got him to model for you, which I think is brilliant. I think you should do that. Was that fun?
It was fun, because I had him, and I had our friend Jochen. He's our vet, and he's got Dashunds, so I kind of roped him in as well. It was fun, and then you could see the t-shirts on, you know, like a younger man, an older man, you know, and like I think I've got me in the faith one as well. So I think using us, you know, and that kind of worked really well.
That's amazing. So in that instance, you'd ordered your products and then you were putting them in them. The other thing you could have done is you could have just put them in plain, ordered just plain white versions and then done like a place it type thing. The only problem with it is you have to make sure they stand really square to the camera, because
Right,
they don't, if they're like that, is that means you've then got to go in and try and twist the image, and oh, we'll be there forever. Because place it do all that for you, but when we're trying to do it ourselves, it's not quite so easy.
No, getting two neurodivergent men to stand still was not going to happen.
Hard enough.
Yeah,
Oh my word, I can imagine. Brilliant though. Brilliant. I loved it when I saw that. And I think with Pod 123, we obviously have a lot of people that come and do our courses, and they do the live courses, the live workshops, or the video courses. But you, more than anybody, I see putting your products out there, telling people about them, and it works, doesn't it? It makes such a difference.
it does work, yeah, and it works in two ways, because people A will ask me how can I buy one, and people will ask me how did you learn how to do that, so then I can just swiftly pass them on to you.
It works really well. Really, really well. And I often talk about this ripples principle, that it ripples go out. You drop the pebble and the ripple keeps going out and out and out and feeding other things. And that really is one of the reasons that we keep, and I don't want to turn this into an advert. I was just saying this earlier on the previous podcast episode. I can't help myself because I get so excited about it. But that's why we keep the prices so reasonable. And we do get people say, I think you said it, didn't you? That you're not charging enough for this. And it puts people off. It makes people think it's not as good as it is. But the reason we want to keep the prices low is because we do want to be able to open it up to as many people as possible. And we want to keep that barrier from being there. So yes, please continue to tell people. Please do.
Definitely.
Yeah, because the more people we can teach, the more websites they can open, the more they can sell, the more they can bring in income for them and their families. But also, you're helping the people at the other end, so the people who are the purchasers.
Yeah, definitely. And like passive income for me with the life that I lead, it's a must. You know, I am not able to go out to work.
No.
At the moment, maybe one day, but I'm 60 and my next pit stop, so I'm not exactly going to be, you know, sought after for any kind of job.
You're not
But
doing a YTS, no?
nah, no. So for me, passive income, you know, be it with the pod shops, be it with the books that I write, you know, that's the way that I need to go. And like, I think now that George is a little bit older, I'm now getting away with helping people to write books, and I'm helping the people who are completely new to it, just getting them into that. This is how you do it, you know, this is what you need to do, this is where you need to go. And I have people that I know that I can send them to for the tough stuff, you know, that I can't do. And with I'm also with the Miles Method, using that for people who are just starting off in business, like complete newbies, so
Right.
that they don't do all the things that I did and join this and join that and, you know, subscribe here, there, and everywhere, costing themselves a fortune. Where 90 minutes with me is, this is what you do, just go and do it, you know.
Amazing. Because it's not just money, is it? It's time as well. And it can be so demoralizing if you've put all your energy into going down one route and it just ends up a dead end.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I think as well, I'm aiming for people like myself who are adoptees, have had you know, a tricky background, maybe think that, you know, business isn't for them, you know, that they can't do that because they're not good enough. You know, they won't be able to fit the profile. And it's like, well, you know, I'll be able to share with them my own profile and say, well, yeah, you can, you know, and you can make a lot of money because, you
Excellent.
know, you've got the goods.
So, beyond the Miles Method and beyond the print-on-demand stores, you're an author. And you're not just an author, you are a multi-author. You've got several books out there now. How many is it?
I think there's eight at the moment and three in the pipeline.
Wow, you're prolific. And you know, we all say, oh, I think I've got a book in me. 11.
Yeah.
You enjoy the process.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. The first book that I wrote was my own story, and that was just a friend in COVID said, you've got an amazing testimony, you know, you need to put it in a book. And I was like, nah, nobody wants to read that nonsense, you know what I mean? But I had nothing much else to do in COVID, so I just started writing it and thought, see how it goes. And it turned into two books, because I've never ever wanted to write a great big book that'll bore the socks off everybody, because I get very bored very quickly with books. Mm-hmm. So I made them two very short books, and it just gave me the bug. You know, when the books went out and people bought them, and I saw the reviews on Amazon, and I was like, oh, these are people that are not my friends that are reading this book and they like it and whatever. And so then, you know, because my stuff's about adoption, I wrote Adoption Trauma. That went down really well. I mean, that just sells all by itself. Wow. I don't even really promote that very often. And then I decided to write about how it's been with me being a parent, becoming a parent at 50 to a child with special needs. You know, all that story about that, some of the funny stuff. That one's quite, there's a lot of funny little bits in that. And that again sells itself. That book and Adoption Trauma are in a couple of schools in my local area as well for the staff to have a look at.
Wow. So it's a useful resource as much as anything else. That is fantastic. And how did it feel that first time you ordered your first book from Amazon and it arrived in that package and you ripped it open?
Honestly, it's very hard to describe, because I suppose I've never physically had a baby, so I can't say it's like having a baby, because I don't know what that feels like. But it was like opening the box, taking it out and looking at it, and that's my creation. I created that, all of it.
Magical.
Yes, it is magical. There's something magical about opening the box. And in all the books I've written that have come in their boxes, you know, and I'm like, ta-da, I take them out, and I'm like, oh. It's the same feeling. It does not diminish.
Really? Oh, that's great. That's great to hear. That is really lovely to hear. And no matter, I know we've got ebooks and audiobooks, and I will ask you about audiobooks in a second, but the physical holding a book, all of that work, all of that time and everything poured into that book, the physical seeing it, the tangible book.
Yeah.
Oh, that's special, isn't it?
I don't think you can beat that. As an author, as someone who's writing books and stuff, that moment where you hold your creation in your hands and you're like, oh, it's mine, and now it's going to be theirs.
Yeah, and isn't it? I mean, the whole concept of print on demand, the fact that there are people all around the world can buy this thing that you've created.
Yeah.
And you're not sitting there with a photocopier and printing out every page and gluing them together. It's just phenomenal. I mean, it feels like it's too good to be true that it's possible to do that, but I'm not diminishing the amount of work it takes to write a book.
Yeah.
Not something you wake up one morning and you've done it in the afternoon.
No. Yeah, I like the process, though. I enjoy the process of writing the book. I enjoy editing. Like, I love editing. I love proofreading. I love doing that part of it and weeding out the mistakes, you know, and like, oh, look at that. There's not even a comma there. No wonder that doesn't read right. You know, I love doing all that sort of stuff, you know, tomorrow. And then I like sending it off to friends and I say, right, you read it, because I find I go book blind. You know, and I can't typos.
Absolutely.
Yeah, can't see them anymore.
Get too close. Absolutely, that is so a thing. And we touched on audiobooks just now. So you have done audiobooks. Have you done all of your books as audiobooks?
Only three so far.
Okay.
Because it's a process, isn't it? But I've done three. And what I will say on audiobooks, for anybody listening, get them done because it's worth it.
Really?
When I look at when I get my statements from Audible, they are always higher than my KDP returns, always higher.
That's interesting. That's interesting. And do you find, have you only done them on Audible or are you across other platforms as well?
I'm only on Audible because I don't have the technical ability to work the files. They are somewhere in my computer, but I wouldn't even know what to do with them. So they were all done for me and uploaded. Whereas if there, what I am kind of looking into now is there an easier way for me to just do it myself so that I can work out how to put it in other places? But for now, you know, they're bringing an income in, you know, and I'm happy with that at the moment.
And besides, you've got 3 more books to write.
Yeah, I do prefer the I would like to get the Georgie, Me and ADHD. I'd love to get that on audiobook because I think that would read well, you know, like the other, those, it would read well. There's one or two of my books probably wouldn't read well, so I wouldn't bother with an audiobook for them.
Is it important to you to have it in your own voice rather than having a narrator or anything else?
Yes, I think so. And I think for me in particular, I know, you know, through, you know, just looking at stuff, that the Scottish voice is quite listenable to.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have said that they like listening to me. So I'm like, okay.
So when I, because I'm doing audiobooks with the new services, so when we do find somebody that says, I don't want to speak my own book.
I'll do
it. You as the narrator. And I'm going to sell it as well. The Scottish voice is really lovely to listen to. And it is. It's sort of soporific, isn't it? So it's just lovely. Lovely. I can see that because it lilts.
Yeah.
For me, if I'm reading something and I'm sort of an hour in, I go very monotone and I can hear it in my own voice. And I think, oh, God, stop talking. I'm just sending you. So yeah, I'm coming to you. Absolutely. I'd like to have a bank of narrators.
Yeah, put my name down. I enjoy, because I like reading. Don't put me down for a very long book, though. Better with shorter books. I'll get bored.
I've got one coming that's 150,000 words. You don't fancy that?
No, I'm not doing that one.
No, I think I'll do it.
No.
That's a long book. Yeah, we're talking like Sherlock Holmes type style here, you know, where they go on and on and on.
Wow.
So, I love that. I love that. How long have you had your audiobooks out there?
Oh, probably, I think about 2.5 years.
Wow. And you would recommend that to other authors?
Yes, definitely. I have a couple of clients just now that I'm working with that are writing books, and you know, I'm talking them through their process and I'm telling them, get it on audio, because, you know, and because that, I can't say it again, well, I can say it again, so I just have, but I always, without fail, my Audible income is always higher than my KDP, which is...
That is amazing. You see, my partner never reads anything. He listens to everything on Audible. And then, and it always is audible, actually, with him. So he will then, if he really loves the book, he'll buy the book to have it sitting on the shelf to remind him of how much he loved it.
Yeah.
So, but it's always the audio book first.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting. How about e-readers and e-books? Do you, as a consumer, do you like those?
Not particularly, no. I don't like reading on the screen. That's not for me. I don't even have a reader, like a Kindle or anything. And I have noticed that for some reason my books don't really sell on Kindle. They are all there, but that's not their buy point. You know, people buy the physical item or the Audible.
That is interesting. And I have noticed that does seem to happen. Like some books that we do, we've done for people, I've noticed that they are absolutely fly as a paperback, but they stall as an ebook. Mm-hmm. Some a bit of both, and some, you know, fly hopefully as both, and then others, they're ebook all the way, and then it's quite hard to get the paperback to sell. So right. That's very interesting, the tangible book and the audio book even more so.
Yeah For me, anyway, for what it may be.
Oh, yours and your subject matter.
Yeah, it might be the subject matter. I don't know. I would probably say that a lot of the sort of, you know, short romance and fantasy stuff is probably Kindle read.
Yeah.
Type of books, because they can be consumed quickly.
Yeah, I can imagine that. And that's where I started with my writing. It was only sort of like 5,000 to 7,000 words. And the idea was, yeah, get it in there, get it read, move on.
Yeah, yeah.
So rather than the sort of book that you would go back to and look at again, I think that may be the difference. Because with your books, people will want to go back, read them again, or have a look over a certain chapter, a certain area, especially the ones about Georgie, where yeah. If they're having something challenging going on in their own lives, then that's yeah. Lovely for them to be able to come back to. Maybe yeah. That's the difference. Who knows? Who knows? Mm-hmm. We don't mind why they buy, as long as they buy, right?
Yeah, totally. It's like, yeah. I do always, when I'm marketing, I do always put on the post, you know, you can buy it, get this on Audible. I let people know they have that option.
That's a good idea. That's yeah. A good idea, because I think, especially with KDP and smaller independent publishers, indies like us, I think people often perceive it as, oh, they won't have done an audiobook because, you know, they won't necessarily have the opportunity to do that. So, yeah, tell them, definitely. Going back to, like, with your POD stores, tell them. So, yeah. Yeah, really, really helps. And have you managed to bring everything together at all? So I know you've just started doing the children's books. So obviously you've got Sparkles in there, Sparkles the Wonder Dog in there.
Yes.
And you've also got Sparkles features on your Put On Demand as well. So in theory, this could all come together. I love it.
Yeah, well, it could do. I mean, I made an Instagram account ages ago called Sparkles the Wonder Dog, and I put some pictures of Sparkles on and whatever, but it was like ooh, I didn't really keep it going, and the thought in mind at the time when I made it was I was going to write these books, and then I didn't do it. So now that I'm doing it, I'm trying to sort of resurrect, you know, the interest with it. But what I keep doing is I keep using my own Fiona Miles author one on Instagram, forgetting I need to change.
Yeah.
Switch the Sparkles the Wonder Dog, you silly woman.
I can imagine. I totally see that. But dogs, especially on Instagram, are so loved, aren't they? And yeah, you'll be an influencer before we know it.
One day, I'm always saying to my sister, one day Del will be millionaires.
Yeah. Is that what Dwight? It's Del's Delights. So something that I tend to forget, and I don't know about you, is this is not normal, right? So in our world, in our online world that we're on, I know lots of people who have written books. However, when I'm out in the street or in the supermarket or something, I am not surrounded by people who have written books. And actually, what you're doing is something pretty phenomenal and pretty unique. So from Georgie's point of view, the teachers at school, the people you interact with, do you find they're a bit agog when you say, oh, I'm an author?
Yeah. And that, I mean, in the beginning, when I would say, you know, they would say, what do you do? I'm an author, you know. And it was that kind of, I thought people would just laugh. I was like, you're an author. But people are like, are you? What have you written? Where is it? You know, what kind of stuff do you write? And they're like, how do you do that? Well, I'd love to write a book. You know, you just get that sort of, I'm in awe of you kind of thing from them, which for me, it kind of blows me away because of the background I have. I'm like, why is anybody in awe of me? I'm just writing some words.
Well, because it's one of those things that, as you quite rightly say, people say, I'd love to do that, but then they don't. They think, I can't do that. Who am I to do that? So to cross that bridge, is that Sparkles the Wonder Dog?
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, it's nice of them to meet you.
Is
she a little girl or a little boy?
She's a little girl.
Oh.
Yeah.
So nice way to feature. You see, she's real. She's not a construct of your imagination. She is real. So what a way for Georgie to grow up, seeing that her mom is an author. I mean, that's magic, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's lovely. You know, I think it's lovely that, for both of us, at the end of the day, when I'm long gone, she has that legacy that is always there. It's always going to be there. You know, mummy's books, mummy's story, you know, mummy's Sparkles' story. When Sparkles is long gone, she'll always have that little legacy of what I have put together, you know, and some of it will help her. You know, one day she will learn to read properly. She's got her own special needs, as you know, but she is coming on in leaps and bounds. And yeah, I believe one day she'll be able to read, especially she'll manage the children's books at least when she's a bit older, definitely.
Amazing. That is amazing. And the other thing, of course, is she'll even, I mean, not wishing you gone, but she'll even be able to hear your voice.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And that's a good thing about not if she's not able to read it like a big book, you know, she can hear mummy's story and she can hear about what it's like to be adopted, the adoption trauma. She can read those, she can hear those three, you know, and that'll be educational for her.
Yeah, but also just to hear you.
Yeah.
You know how when you've lost people, this is getting quite miserable, but you know how when you've lost people and you've got an answer phone message from them, and then you lose it and you get a new phone or you lose your voice messages or something, and it's devastating.
Yeah.
So to be able to have all that in a secure, hopefully secure place, that is just wonderful.
Absolutely. Yeah, and even an income for her, because she'd be able to take the income from that.
Yes, absolutely. So isn't that just amazing? We are creating legacies here.
Yes, we are. Wow. And that it's looking at that bigger picture. You know, when you're doing something like passive income, where you are making something, you know, creating a design, writing a book, that leaves a legacy. That is yours. You created that. Your family can see that. Your family can, you know, get the benefit of that even when you're gone.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that happens with passive income, but POD in particular, is you don't necessarily see the return straight away. And that can be demoralizing for people, and it can stop people. So, for example, you set up your website, you've done the POD 1-2-3 course or the workshop, and you're really happy and excited, or you've gone on Redbubble, you put it on there, look at my beautiful products, that's amazing. No one's bought it. Oh. And then you forget about it and go and do something else. Don't keep talking about it. Keep adding new products, or keep, even if you have got a collection of products that you're happy with and you don't even want to add new products, but keep promoting it, keep talking about it, getting it to the top of Google, because these, and put it on Instagram and stuff, but because your customers, it's the first time they've seen it. It doesn't matter that it may have been there 2 years. It's the first time they've seen it. It speaks to them.
Yeah.
And they want it now. So if you don't get a sale straight away, don't think that all that works for nothing.
No.
It's wasted. And I think sometimes in this world, we want instant gratification. We put it out there. We think, this is brilliant. Everybody's going to want it. And if it doesn't automatically go and get 100 sales straight away, that's rubbish. It's not worth it.
Yeah,
demand isn't like that. It sometimes it's a slow burner.
Yeah, it's the promotion though, Joe. Definitely the promotion. And that, like, I'm in a little WhatsApp group with some podders, pod 1-2-3ers, and I was kind of going to make the point that yes, you do have to show people it once a week, twice a week, whatever, because at the end of the day, KFC is a huge operation. You know, everybody knows KFC, but they've just done a massive promotion because there are people who have not heard about KFC. So, you know, even them in their hugeness promote you know, and put out adverts and do billboards and whatever. So if they need to do it, then we need to do it for our little designs. Simple as that.
Absolutely. Even McDonald's. I mean, how iconic is McDonald's? We all know about McDonald's, but they're still advertising. You are exactly right. Yeah. Absolutely. And I mean, I do have like little secret stores and I have secret, I have print on demand in places that I never talk about, but it is there. And every now and again, I do get an order from it. And it took me a couple of hours to set up. So, yeah. So why would, there's no point me deleting them now. No, I might not, you know, I'm not into whatever it was anymore, or maybe it's stuff that I'm not, you know, I think is okay, but you know, I've learned a lot more about how to put my design straight and things like that.
Yes.
Or in the middle and things like that. But I don't want to take it off. It's there. Just leave it there. That's fine. But the stuff that I'm actively promoting is obviously always going to bring in more business. It's just getting eyes on it, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's just having a plan, have a marketing plan. And if that marketing plan is just as simple as show your audience that once a week, you know, simple plan, and make sure you give them the link.
Yeah, always do that. And how long does that take? You know, just doing it once a week.
Doesn't take long. It really doesn't take long. It's setting up. My phone goes off almost all day. Little reminders.
Yeah.
Right. You need to go on Instagram for Sparkles the Wonder Dog. You need to go on Facebook with us. You need to do that. And it's marketing stuff, because marketing is something that we just forget about so quickly. Yeah. You know, and we think, oh, we've done it, it's there. You know, but we don't think that we need to tell people about it. But we have to, because they are very unlikely to just randomly find your design.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When I started doing print on demand 15 years ago, everything was smaller. The internet was smaller. And then it felt busy. But now you think every time you create something, every time you do anything, there's more and more stuff going out there. And you're just one person, and there's all these other people, and more countries are getting like bigger internet presences. And so absolutely. You need to tell people, definitely. And something like Dash Unrelated stuff. I mean, I've got half one for a start. Not, he's not like in formaldehyde. He is across the street. But, so, yeah, they are so recognisable. Everybody loves them. My partner, my Ian, when Ted visits the Rainbow Bridge or whatever they call it. Yeah. Sorry, Ted. He's like, oh, can we get Dash owned? Can we get that? Because they're such characters, aren't they?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
So there's this real, real love for them. So why not have a collection for them? Why not have a range? Absolutely. Yeah.
And I'm in a huge Dash owned group, and I got in that group and I started interacting with some of the posts. Didn't mention about my shop, nothing. I just, I've got a Dash on, here she is. Oh, look at your Dash on, it's beautiful. Oh, I put pictures up. Oh, this is Sparkles doing this, Sparkles doing that, and whatever. And then after a few months of interacting, they on a Tuesday, they have a Tuesday trader post, and I just flopped a design in there, and phew, you know, got a couple of sales. So every so often, when I remember about Tuesday Trader, I put a couple of pictures in there.
Lovely. And you're not like putting them everywhere all the time to annoy people. You're doing it when they ask, because you can. With one of our groups, we have somebody that occasionally will just put something in randomly, and I'm like, no, I let that post go through, because that's not fair on the audience, you know. But when it's a thread, do it. Absolutely. Yeah. Why not? Why not? Yeah, and it's so funny. My sister has a French bulldog, and I wanted to get her a present, so I got her husband to send me a really nice picture of her face. Keddy, she's called. Turkish for cat.
Right.
Great. Irony for you. So I decided with her husband's help that she'd get a phone case, so I found out what size phone it was and did it on print on demand. But I left the design up there after I'd given it to her and she was delighted with it. I left the design up there and she was happy for me to do that. And it sells. It still sells, even though for Lucy, my sister, it was because it's her dog. That's why it's so special. For other people, it's, I really love French Bulldogs. Or my auntie's got a French Bulldog. Oh, look, that's a lovely grey one. Let's take a picture of that. Let's buy that one with that picture.
Yeah. It is. It's so cool. So cool what you can do. I do love print on demand. I do love my little pod shops.
Yeah, the concept's incredible, isn't it? So you would recommend print on demand?
Yeah, definitely. You know what? Whether it's for the reason, like for myself, because I can't really get out to earn money, or whether it's just as a sideline income, which, you know, nobody's going to knock away free money, really, you know, because once you've learned how to do what you need to do to get your stuff up there, that's it, really. There's no investment after that.
No.
You know, it's just a bit of time, you know, and if you're like me and you can box off that bit of time, you know, even say to Alexa, sometimes I'll tell Alexa, give me a 20-minute timer and I'll sit down and I'll design something, I'll upload it, done it in 20 minutes. That's now for sale, 20 minutes out of my day.
It's so amazing, isn't it? And I don't know if you've ever played with custom printing or had a go yourself. That is so different. It's so different. It's like 20 minutes, you're still sort of trying to figure out how to get the machine on, or how to, why isn't the EPS heating up, or how I've burnt myself, or all of these things. It is, I mean, it blows your mind. The industry is growing so rapidly, and it's better for the environment as well. We haven't got piles and piles of printed T-shirts that aren't selling, that have been chucked in landfill. We're not, I mean, obviously with Pod 123, it's slightly different because we have just one printer based in Belfast.
Yeah.
But if you're doing something like Redbubble, they've got print facilities all over the world. So you're not flying stuff by air freight. It's, and KDP as well, and all the other book print on demand services that you can do. I just love it. And I love also that Audible and the audiobooks in general mean that even have to be just print on demand.
Yeah,
it's amazing. It's almost content on demand. Maybe we should call it COD.
No, don't call it COD. There's something fishy about that.
Oh, that's brilliant. God, because with Pod 123, like Marie says, it's not actually just printing. There's embroidery as well. There's etching. They do etching on a glass and wood. So, yeah, but you can't have EOD. That just sounds weird.
No. Pod 123 is fine.
Yeah. She says merch on demand, which is mod. I'm like, oh, no, going back to the scooters. Black and white in that. So, yeah, no. But anyway, thank you so much. Please, please, please do give me your links to be able to add to the bottom of the podcast, because after listening to this, I know people want to get in touch with you and want to have a look at what you're doing. And
of course you will.
And have a listen as well.
Yeah.
Digest your books audibly.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're absolutely welcome. I always love a catch up with you, and no doubt we'll carry on jabbering after I stop pressing record as well. So thank you very much, Fiona. It's been an absolute pleasure as always.
Brilliant.